The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world, of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had not been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the 12, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village. It was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. When Lent began, who among us might imagine that our ultimate Lenten discipline would be to live in the midst of a global pandemic? Some of us are struggling with this forced isolation or with too much time in close proximity with our household. Others are trying their best to do their jobs, some with great inconvenience, others with increased risk of infection. Some have lost their jobs and are struggling to figure out what's next. I have become more aware of how intimately dependent upon each other all of us humans have become. I think we've always been, but now I'm more aware of it. Life is changed, and when or how the future will unfold is unknown. A Lent like no other. In these surreal days, have you noticed how quiet it is? There's less traffic on the roads, generally fewer people walking around. There seems to be more stillness. It's both beautiful and unsettling. What I've noticed is the song of the birds. Humans may be locked down, but nature continues to unfold from winter into spring. A virus may threaten human life, but the life of the natural world begins to blossom. On Friday, I read that with fewer planes, fewer cars, fewer factories in operation, we will experience at least a brief improvement in air quality. The world seems quieter. I wonder if that was what it was like in Bethany after the death of Lazarus. It's nearly always quiet after a death, after the funeral. Mary and Martha quietly sobbing. Friends respectfully quiet in the background. When death comes, people often stay indoors talking in hushed tones. And then Jesus turns up too late, delayed, making a point, but there at last. Out of the silence, the women come to him, emerging from their grief-darkened home, first Martha, then Mary. Their words are the same. "If only you had been here. If only he had arrived sooner in Bethany, the place where Jesus often rested and took refuge with his friends. It was a safe place for him." Jesus' ministry could not have happened without homes like this, and the love that he found in such homes. In Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, Bethany means house of affliction. Here in this story, it's the worst kind of affliction, death. We know very little about Lazarus. He's present in this gospel, but never speaks. Bethany is described as the home of Martha and her sister Mary, not of Lazarus. And some have speculated that Lazarus was an invalid or disabled. Words describing him in this story suggest someone who is without strength, feeble, even insignificant. Yet Jesus loved him. He loved him. Now, I invite you to recall the beginning of the gospel according to John. It starts with the poetry of the prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In this prologue, Jesus is identified with the light, the wisdom, and the very Word, the creative power of God. And then the gospel moves on to point to those ways in which Jesus' divinity is revealed by the seven signs that include turning water into wine, healing the man blind from birth, healing the official's son, feeding the 5,000, and walking on the water. This morning's gospel is considered the seventh sign of Jesus. Yet it's so. His full and most profound humanity. Here, when his friend dies, he's grief-stricken. So here, when his friend dies, Jesus is grief-stricken. Something breaks in Jesus, and he becomes vulnerable. Grieving his friend's death and the sorrow of the sisters, he begins to weep real human tears. And it's a turning point. After the raising of Lazarus, the religious authorities plan to put Jesus to death. Now, until now, the gospel never explicitly suggests that Jesus will die a human death. But suddenly, Jesus' humanity is very real. Even as his divinity is signified by the act of raising. As his divinity is signified by the act of raising his friend. Now, this gospel passage is jam-packed with significance. But in our isolated, separated context of these weeks, there are two points I want to emphasize. First, this glimpse into Jesus' experience of grief in the face of the death of a loved one points us toward God. As this gospel writer tells us repeatedly, when we see the Son, we see the Father. When what we see in the Son is true of the Father also. When we see Jesus disturbed and weeping in the face of suffering and death, we are seeing into the heart of God, who is Father and Mother of us all. We are seeing into the mothering and fathering heart of God, who knows only too well what it feels like to lose a child. At the cross, not only does Jesus experience being hated and executed, but also the Father experiences being a heartbroken parent who watches helplessly a child suffer and die. There is no depth of grief that is unfamiliar to God. There is no suffering or pain that can take us beyond the understanding and compassion of our God. Some of us are experiencing sorrow and anxiety and fear in this unsettled time. Know this: the further we fall into grief and pain and anguish, the deeper we are immersed into the very heart of God. To collapse into sorrow and tears is to fall into the everlasting arms of God, whose sorrow is fathomless and yet whose love is undiminished. Second point. In the story of the raising of Lazarus, Jesus not only reveals his humanity, but he also manifests the highest calling for humankind. For it is in this moment, this choosing to raise Lazarus, that he makes his sacrifice. Jesus knows the religious authorities are seeking to kill him, yet he raises Lazarus anyway. The cross is not the moment of Jesus' sacrifice. It is the result. The actual sacrifice is when Jesus lays down his life for a friend. On the night before he dies, which we will recall on Maundy Thursday, Jesus will say there is no greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friend, as Jesus has already done by raising Lazarus. Humankind at its very best involves sacrifice for the well-being of others, for the health and salvation of others. I believe the meaning and purpose of Jesus' resurrection is to make it known, to make it real, that God wishes those who sacrifice to live fully. Some who sacrifice will not die immediately. Some will, however, become martyrs in the moment or in the action of their sacrifice. Either way, God desires and offers eternal, risen life for all who follow in Jesus' way of love. Whether they live or die, they who sacrifice belong to God who loves and embraces us all. I do not see COVID-19 as being sent by God. It is not God's megaphone to rouse the world or to punish the world. But when we have sometimes been dead to the world ourselves, immobilized by fear, sunk in lethargy and depression, untethered from reality by anxiety, here is Jesus at the doorway of whatever metaphorical tomb we might be in, taking away the stone, calling us to come back to our better selves and live again. Prodded and pulled and pushed, called and unbounded and set free. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need help. Jesus comes to the place of death as he has done before. And he calls us to life. He calls the community and the church and the individuals within them to action and to sacrifice. The global pandemic crisis is demanding that all of us sacrifice for the common good, for the well-being of others, and for the healing of the world. Some of us are participating in Jesus Christ's saving action by sacrificing in hospitals and healthcare centers, in research facilities, in government service, on delivery trucks, and in grocery stores. Some of us are sacrificing at home, as we shelter in exile for the sake of others, to stay out of the way of those who are trying to care for the vulnerable and the ill, sacrificing for the sake of others, no greater love than this. In this time of sacrifice, some of us will depart this earthly life and we will mourn them and commend them to the everlasting care of God. Some will yet continue on our earthly pilgrimage, and regardless, we shall all be forever alive in the Lord, because abundantly God yearns for us and gives us a full, full, and risen life. Amen.